Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sestrino here, getting you ready for our amazing race wrap up here, getting you ready for the next to last episode recap of Amazing Race 26 with Jessica Lease. Before we get to tonight's show, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor, and those are friends over at True Car, because when you make a big purchase like buying a new car, don't you want and expect a transparent buying experience, a process that gives you the confidence to know you're getting a fair deal? So to make sure you understand the power of transparency, check out the True Car and True Car mobile app, because with True Car, not only can you configure the car you want and how you want it, but you can see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for. And you never have to worry about getting a car that's going to break down like some of those cars on The Amazing Race. Down to the zip code, you'll find exactly what you need, so you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Pretty transparent. And once you decide on the car you want, lock in those guaranteed savings. On average, over $3,000 off MSRP, then you'll be connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor your savings without negotiation. So when you're ready for a new, transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the True Car app today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who's no stranger to hurting clowns' feelings. I'm Rob Sestrino, or should I say, to be the politically correct term, a jester American. This is a spoiler from a podcast you haven't heard yet. Anyway, how are you doing tonight, Jessica Lease?
I'm doing wonderful, Rob. What a great time to be a fan of CBS reality.
Oh my God, so much. So Jessica, why should people vote for you for Survivor Second Chances?
Because we haven't killed anybody on Survivor yet.
You would kill somebody.
I think I would die.
Oh, you would be the victim of a murder
like
on
that.
Survivor.
I'd be like the guy in Bulgaria.
Oh my God. Oh, God forbid. God forbid. Yeah. Anyway, Jessica, great to see you here tonight on our Amazing Race recap. Jessica, 1 week from tonight, we will crown the winner of the Amazing Race 26.
I can't believe it's here. It feels like we've been watching this season for about 6 years at this point.
It's been a long time coming, and it's been sort of a disjointed blind date season, which it started the same night as Survivor, and I feel like the Survivor momentum has stayed steady. The blind date Amazing Race, it's been just somewhat disjointed. We had that 2 week break in the middle of that, and here we are now with the final four teams that we sort of knew coming into tonight that these teams were just going to keep racing through this leg. And here we are heading into next Friday night, 1 hour. We will eliminate one team along the way and then get down to our winner 1 week from tonight, Jess.
It's almost here.
It's almost here.
Good episode.
Yes. So we are cruising along here tonight. Hopefully our car will not break down at any point along the way. And we will be taking your questions here on robswebsite.com. Also on Twitter, hashtag RHAP. And also on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube, Jess.
That's a lot of places. I think nobody can say that they were not sufficiently told how to communicate with us.
That's right. That's right. And so just speaking of fantastic communication, to me, the story of the night really is the culmination of things that has led to a potential winner edit here and maybe eventual winning run for Team Blaley. Blair and Haley, it's all coming together.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that this is the team that has emerged as the clear front runners.
Yeah, very clear front runners. And where I would say they're the odds on favorite to win this thing.
Yeah, and you know, I picked them cynically at the beginning of the season, so I'm feeling kind of validated here.
Because you thought they were going to be boring.
I thought they were going to be boring, and I have to say, I have never been gladder to be wrong about that.
Yeah, they've been very, very fun to watch. Although, and maybe this was the night where they fought the least.
Yeah, but that was fun too, because they were almost playful with each other. And
yeah.
That was kind of, it was strange and interesting and wonderful to watch them getting along the way they did and kidding around and actually having a really good time with it.
Yeah. And as far as when they're not fighting with each other, they're very fun because it's like that they're like they get along particularly well. It's like they don't go into like not fighting into like indifference. It's like when they're not fighting that they're actually like, she seems very pleasant.
Yeah, it's hot and cold with them.
Yeah. Did they do something in particular that was different? Was it because did ultimately Blair follow along with listening to her and paying more attention to her?
Yeah, and I think it's easier to get along with someone when everything's going right for you. Like they're coming off of a win. They've been doing extremely well. They don't have a lot of outside factors right now causing them stress.
Was there a prize for first place, or this was because it was the keep racing?
It's keep racing, so I don't think there was a prize.
Ah, that's a cheap move.
Yeah, they probably feel a little bit cheated on that front.
Yeah.
But, you know, they seem like they might be winners in life as well. I mean, I'm starting to ship it a little.
You're shipping it? You think there's a chance for a Blaley romance?
I'm not saying there's not a chance.
Whoa, Jess, look at you. What a romantic.
Yeah, and again, the beginning of the season, when I was like, this is the worst idea they've ever had. This is worse than the Family Edition. These people are all going to suck, and they're going to be indifferent to each other, and nobody's going to have a remotest chance of falling in love. I have done a full 180 on that.
Wow. Okay, so you are in on the blind date teams.
I'm in on all of these teams, Rob. There is not a disappointing winner in this whole group.
Well, Jess, you are such a rose-colored glasses.
You know, maybe it's just Blair and Haley's positivity that's rubbing off on me, but...
It's rubbing off on you. All right.
I feel really, really good about this.
So talk to me big picture. So if, let's say they said Amazing Race 28, let's say a year from now, they came back around and said, you know, let's do the blind date thing again. You would be okay with that or not okay with that?
I would rather they not do it again, because I think they learned some things from this race, and I think that was good. But, you know, we've done it once. I don't think it's like Survivor where you try a gimmick once and then if it works, you have to try it again right away.
Mm-hmm. What if, like, just going forward, let's say Amazing Race 27, that they cast it like a regular Amazing Race, but let's say we have three blind date teams. So it's like a thing, eight regular teams, you know, we got a mom and a daughter, and we have all these different people, best friends and whatever, and, older married couple and people in a sorority. And then we have three teams that are blind date teams. What do you think of that?
I would love it if they didn't have any existing young dating couples. And instead of those pre-existing young dating couples, they brought in blind daters. I think I'd be okay with that.
What if you had one?
If you had one, that'd be okay too. They did that on Biggest Loser. They had a season that was all like families and you had like married couples and you had, I'm going to turn my phone off. You have married couples.
Is that the Law and Order noise?
Yep. Text. Sorry. Sorry. And they had one team of people that were complete and total strangers, and they ended up going fairly far, and it was as good of a relationship dynamic as anybody else's. And I should also point out that while my phone turned on, I saw that we got some tweets. We got people tweeting directly at me to correct me because apparently they don't care if you get things wrong, Rob, but they're very invested in me getting things right.
Well, that's your job.
I guess so. Blair and Haley won a trip. They won a trip to India. So now they have more than one trip between the two of them, so they don't necessarily have to go together.
Okay, good. That works out good, but I hope they do go together.
Yeah, I hope they do too. And I hope somebody films it.
Yes, that would be great. So we had on this leg also, it was really a tale of Mike and Rochelle versus the team of Tyler and Laura for a lot of the night. And, you know, at one point they were sort of both in the same place at the same time. But then the rest of the episode was sort of like them both struggling in different places together.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think I really loved that. I don't think Mike and Rochelle really had a fighting chance of catching up as soon as one thing went wrong for them.
Yeah, Mike and Rochelle really abandoned ship very quickly with that brick making challenge, which seemed very, very difficult. Did you think that that was the right idea to show up, say, this is tough, and get out of there?
I think they could have given it a little bit more of a try. I feel like they might have done okay with it once they got the hang of it. They might have even been able to overtake Tyler and Laura, but like they said, it was a gamble. They figured that they would just go to the other task and see if it was one of those cases where one of the tasks was significantly easier. And either way, you know, if they stay at the bricks, there's a pretty good chance they're not going to overtake Tyler and Laura and they're out. But if they go to the other task and it's really quick, you know, it's going to pay off. Either way, you know, it's likely that they're not going to end up beating them, but they want to take the chance.
Yeah. See, on these, all these different reality shows that I cover, everything is different. On The Amazing Race, you know, it's a very, it's a bad thing because you have to do all this hard stuff with the brick. On Big Brother Canada, the brick is good. You want stuff from the brick.
No, the brick is great.
Yeah, it's a good brick. Just,
you know, if you go to Peru, the brick is not so great. It's really heavy. And if you don't make it correctly, there's going to be a dude that comes along and stomps on it.
Where was the tent sale?
You know, I think...
Our Canadian viewers are laughing.
Yeah, well, I get it. I've been to Canada, Rob. I'm saying, like, these bricks in Peru never go on sale.
Never go on sale. Yeah. What was so difficult about this task? I mean, it wasn't really coming across to me on television of why it was so hard to make these bricks.
I think you had to pack that mud in there really, really tightly. Otherwise, you didn't get into the corners. And if you don't get into the corners, you have like mushy corners and you want really straight, even corners. Yeah. Mushy corners are the worst.
Yeah. It looked like the guys that were making it, they sort of like were making like a ball. And then they sort of like put the ball in there. But it seemed like our teams, they were sort of like, it looked like sort of like pancake batter that they were pouring into the brick. And they're like, it's not working.
Yeah, you have to get the right consistency in there. And I think you got to smack out the air bubbles, which is probably what the kneading it thing, you know, addressed.
Yeah. Did you think that that was mean that the guy was stepping on the ones he didn't like?
Yes, and I loved it.
You loved it. Yeah, that's good. that's always fun. So it was a real... tough pair of tasks tonight, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I love it when the racers are pushed far enough out of their comfort zone that it's interesting.
Yeah, all in all, I mean, outside of the, you know, find the tiny tile in the mosaic, which actually Tyler and Laura look like they struggled with that a little bit. It was a night of very difficult tasks.
Yeah, and when the task is difficult, I think that's when you have teams that have potential to rise to the challenge. And you have opportunities for people to kind of make up time. And if Mike and Rochelle had really been on top of their game, I think, like, if they'd run a leg like they did last leg, they probably would have made up a significant amount of time.
But Jess, is it wasting these tough tasks on a leg that's not elimination?
I don't think so. I think you can't ever put anything in the race that looks like a marker of a non-elimination leg. Because then you take out the suspense. Like, everybody has to go into every leg of the race thinking that it might be non-elimination. Because if you think you are definitely getting eliminated and there's nothing you can do about it, you're not going to keep on going.
Do you prefer this format of seeing four teams going into the final leg as opposed to what we've seen traditionally on The Amazing Race?
You know, there's been a lot of controversy around this. Like, there's a lot of people that really, really hate this. And I think the four teams just ruins the integrity.
Because I want you to be objective about this, because last season, now you can't say you didn't like it because you like the sweet scientist so much that if you say you didn't like it, it's a referendum on the sweet scientist. So now you could say this. We don't know who's going to win. So you could tell me right now if you like it or not.
You can have lead to a good thing.
Like,
Robin,
if Mike and Rochelle win next week, then you're going to feel bad. If that you don't want to say that it was bad, because then you'll hurt their feelings.
Well, that's the thing, Rob. A lot of people hate this. They think it's the worst twist ever. And I gotta be honest, I am Final Four neutral. I honestly
you're agnostic.
Don't. Yeah, I could not care less whether there are three teams or four teams. It really doesn't matter to me, because until we get to the point where we're like awarding $1 million to each of the first two teams that show up, you know, the end result is still the same.
Yeah, I don't like it.
The part that I don't like is the mid-leg elimination, especially the way it was executed last season. I think they could pull it off in an exciting way, in an interesting way. But last season, it was just like nobody had a chance to really redeem themselves with a good task.
Yeah, I prefer that they kick somebody off in this leg. And then, I mean, adding more non-elimination legs to The Amazing Race. In my mind, the non-elimination leg is the worst thing about The Amazing Race.
Yeah, I can see why you wouldn't like it. And it is upsetting when you think, like so much of reality television is kind of scheduled around, you know, every episode someone goes home and you tune in to find out who's going to go home. And like every television show for the first half of the last decade revolved around the premise of someone is going home at the end of the show and we got to find out who it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see where you get really upset because you are primed for that to happen. And so when someone doesn't, it feels like a real letdown. But I think you need those in there. Like I said before, you really need those in there because the last place team always has to feel like they might actually have a chance to stay in it.
I don't mind if you wanted to do one or you wanted to do two, but this is the 11th episode tonight of The Amazing Race. And of those 11 episodes, four times nobody went home. And so
that's
fair.
That's too many.
I just feel like if the premise of the show is you watch people in a high stakes race go around the world and have to do all these tasks, and the person that comes in last is probably going to go home. I just feel like it's so many weeks where you watch it and it's like you didn't go home, and the speed bump is not like it's really not that much of a game changer.
Yeah. It's the speed bump has never been solely responsible for somebody getting eliminated.
So it's just almost like an hour of action where we just watched people do stuff, but ultimately it really didn't matter for anything.
Yeah, I suppose so. But there's also, and sometimes the show cancels this out too, but there's also the question of momentum. If you have a really terrible leg and you end up like kind of picking up some momentum in the next leg, you know, it feels like twice as good.
Well,
or if you're very far ahead and you can get a little further ahead. You know, you need to have a race for last and a race for first, you know?
Is momentum a real thing on The Amazing Race? Because I know, like, in listening to a lot of talk about sports, you know, there are some people who are sort of into sabermetrics that say, you know, there's no such thing as momentum.
I'm not a sabermetrics geek, Rob. I really couldn't tell you. But I think that in The Amazing Race, you end up starting at a time that's proportional to the time you checked in. So if you check in 10 minutes ahead of the team that's behind you, you get to leave the pit stop 10 minutes earlier than them. And you can't always build up a whole lot because they will bunch you at certain points and in the airport and stuff. But I think it's useful to a lot of teams. Like psychologically, you like to be able to leave a little bit before everybody else and have that jump on them.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and talk through some of the challenges from the episode. Of course, the first thing that happened was on the world's largest mosaic, you have to find a tiny little tile. Did you like this idea, Jess?
I really liked this idea because I think it looked impossible. At first I thought they were just going to be let loose on this 2 mile long mosaic and there was a tiny tile somewhere in the millions of tiles. And at first I was like, that's really mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked that they got a little bit of a reference point.
Yeah, you had to find like an animal.
Yeah, you had to find the animal. And I think it drove enough people crazy at first that I think it was a good addition. Plus, it was a great landmark. It's really pretty to look at. It's very impressive. It's
a nice mosaic. One of the nicest mosaics I've seen.
I think of all the mosaics I've seen in my life, this is definitely top 10.
Top 10 mosaic for sure. Okay. And then from there, they had to go and give the little piece of paper. Like, what was it? What did it say on it? You just had to give it to the clown?
Yeah, no, it was just a sticker. I don't think it said anything on it. You just had to give the clown the sticker and he would give you a clue.
Did you like that clown?
I don't really like clowns.
No, me neither. I thought the clown was kind of creepy.
Yeah, every clown is creepy.
I thought that was particularly creepy.
Yeah, I don't know if I would call him. He's not like Pennywise creepy, but
no,
he's, you know, I liked that he was making them do clown things before he gave the clue up.
They're always trying to get you to do stuff, these clowns.
Hey, I don't know what clown hurt you in the past, Rob, but I hope that you've learned to heal from that.
For sure. All right. I did like it when, was it Mike knocked over the clown's balloons?
Yeah, that was that was kind of inept and fun.
Yes, that was very fun. I like to see the clown go ahead and get his balloons knocked over. Also, we found out about Mike and Rochelle that if they won $1 million, it would change their lives and you could buy their entire town for $1 million.
Yeah, I guess the dollar goes a lot further in Michigan than it does around here.
Wow. What would you do with Mike and Rochelle's town if you bought it?
I think I might have to like turn it into a permanent amazing race course.
Wow. So the truck stop would be sort of like, you'd call it like the pit stop?
Right, right. You'd rename the truck stop the pit stop, and then, you know, people can come and like drop a large amount of money to go on these like amazing race-esque tasks.
Wow. Look, you turn that million into 2 million like that, Jess.
Totally. You know, that's what you do. It's like wishing for more wishes.
There you go. All right. So we had the detour was shake your hips versus make your bricks.
Shake your hips versus make your bricks. They're really reaching here.
It's a little bit of a stretch to force the rhyme.
A little bit.
Yes. All right. I guess make and shake rhyme.
I guess.
Could you rhyme the first words? Is that a thing?
Maybe. I think that is a thing in poetry, but it's like not a thing that everybody knows about.
It's not
it's
canon.
Like an English major thing.
Okay. All right. So in shake your hips, you had to learn this dance. In make your bricks, you had to make like 12 Adobe bricks. And then from there, you had to take the Adobe bricks and take real bricks, take ones that were actually made, and then bring them like really far in the wheelbarrow.
Yeah, that looked like a really long way. I'm glad that I did not have to move those bricks.
Yes, yes, that was a really long challenge. Okay, so for a couple of the teams, they didn't struggle with it as much. A couple of teams got through this relatively quickly. But
I guess they must have skills with the Adobe Creative Suite.
I guess so. There you go. And so, it really came down to a lot with Laura and Tyler trying to make the bricks.
Yeah. And
Blair and Haley got through it relatively quickly.
Yeah. Blair and Haley were just on fire tonight.
They really were.
And they were like, I didn't think anybody could possibly making bricks look fun. But they really did. And Laura and Tyler looked like they were really suffering through it.
Yeah, Laura and Tyler, we really felt like they were at one point the team to beat. But there does seem to be some dissension in the ranks. Really, ever since, was it Amsterdam, that they really have started to fall apart?
Yeah, they've dropped very far in the power rankings.
Yes. Like they're bickering with each other.
Yeah. And it's almost like they did a Freaky Friday body switch with Blair and Haley.
Yeah. Also, I think Laura said about Tyler that he's being a real know-it-all.
But is he the best know-it-all?
I don't know. Tyler's the best know-it-all. Not according to Laura at all. Okay. And so for them, then they were really starting to go back and forth and really struggling with making their bricks, even though their recipe method did not work.
Yeah, well, it worked for Blair and Haley. They were making plenty of baking metaphors.
Yeah, it really was.
I think their problem was they were treating it like making a cake, and this was really more like making bread.
Making it more. Oh, is that where they went wrong?
That's where they went wrong.
Yes. Why are you a bread maker?
No, I'm a cake maker.
Cake?
But I know the difference.
Cake maker Hattie?
There you go.
All right. So they had to continue making all those Adobe bricks. Mike and Rochelle show up. They struggle for a little bit, and they're just like, let's just get out of here. Mike and Rochelle, we really haven't found the task this season of like that's really in their wheelhouse.
Well, they've had some legs where they've done better than everybody, but we haven't seen them have one of these moments where you're just kind of shocked at how amazing they are at something.
Yeah, they've really struggled on a number of things. And tonight was a very troubling night. And especially it was a car troubling night for them as well.
Yeah, it just seems like as soon as that happened, they were doomed.
Yeah. The car that they were in like had trouble, and then it was like, was the car out of control? It was like they made it seem like they were like scared for their lives. Like the car was like the brakes weren't working.
Yeah, and it was belching smoke. And like that's not a fun cab ride.
No, it was not. And so, and then what ended up happening? Did they get like a flat tire?
I think the engine kind of like finally gave out.
Oh my God!
And I think. Then they had to wait for another cab to come.
Yeah. We've seen so many different car problems this season between when we had Team Kurgan just like abandon their car. And then we had the Olympians with the flat tire and then Mike and Rochelle tonight.
Yeah, it really is like cars are not having a good race this season.
Yeah. For a show that's sponsored by Ford, we've really seen a lot of car trouble.
Yeah, well, to be fair, we don't know what kind of car it was that that was the cab. Like, the cab was probably not a Ford.
The hashtag Amazing Race Breakdown?
Yeah.
Okay. So, meanwhile, we had to do some dancing, and we started with Jenny and Jelani. Could you talk to me about the dance that they did tonight?
This seemed like they were being judged on artistic merit more than they were necessarily on the steps. And I had the same reaction that Mike and Rochelle did when I first saw the dance. I saw their feet moving, and I thought, that looks really hard. That seems harder by a lot than a lot of the dances that they've had to do before. But it turned out that that was not the thing they were being judged on. It was more like, are they, you know, do they have the right posture, and are they looking at each other with enough passion? And here we find something that trips up Jelani and Jenny, because they have no chemistry whatsoever.
Mm. So exactly, like, they had to come up with their own sort of thing.
You know, they were given a series of movements to go through, but they weren't judged like, you know, the season 20 Bollywood task. It wasn't on that level where, you know, you had to hit your mark at every point. It wasn't like the sinking steps at the beginning of the season. It was more like you didn't really have to follow the music as much as you had to do the motions, and you had to carry yourself the right way, and you had to really throw yourself into it.
Yeah. I still like the judge from the Bollywood task, who's like, that guy was cool.
That guy was cool.
He had sunglasses also.
Yeah, he was super Bollywood.
Yeah, he was super Bollywood, and he had a cool look. He was a cool director.
Yeah.
And so for Jenny and Jelani, eventually they get through this. But Mike and Rochelle are going to really struggle when they get to trying to get through this dancing task.
Yeah, it's really not in their wheelhouse.
It really wasn't.
this was just like one task after another that was not up Mike and Rochelle's.
But what is the task that's in their wheelhouse?
Well, you know, they did great.
Give me, what's their five hole?
We could give them a roller derby task. We could give them a cooking task.
Some sort of a roller derby cooking.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you did the pancake flipping with the Rhea Dubron with the pancake. Maybe they could do something like that.
Maybe they could go to some country where it's like, this historic 50s sock hop features burgers that get brought out to the cars on roller skates. The teams will have to make a burger in the kitchen and then bring it out to the cars on roller skates. Then, once they deliver 17 lunches, they'll get the next clue.
All right, I've changed my mind about my answer with what I'm going to do with the $1 million.
You're going to open up a 50s sock hop?
I'm going to open up a 50s sock hop diner with roller skates.
And hire Mike and Rochelle?
And hire Mike and Rochelle.
How about this? What if it's a sock hop truck stop?
Sock hop truck stop?
Yes.
These sound like detour options.
At truck stop, teams will have to load up a tractor trailer with lots of produce from all the different marketplaces. In sock hop, teams will have to deliver 17 hamburgers to teams on roller skates.
You know, CBS, call us. We got many more of these.
Yes, as a Mike and Rochelle. Hey, look. If they won the million, maybe they want to hire us to invest.
Yeah. You know, I hear land is cheap in their town.
Yes. And it is an amazing race themed truck stop sock hop.
Yeah. Can we buy the naming rights and just call it like Rehaptopia?
And we do podcasts also?
Yeah. You know, coming to you live from the sock hop truck stop.
Wow. I think we got to get the podcast on like satellite radio if we're going to really do that. I think like that's what the truckers are listening to.
Yeah. Well, if we had $1 million.
I don't hear from a lot of truckers.
Yeah. There's not a whole long haul trucker audience for Rob as a podcast.
Yeah. Because I think they can't watch the shows. But if they like the shows, they should just listen to the podcasts.
Right. Right. Well, we need to give them like a general interest podcast with like traffic news. And then we can pull in that very important key long-haul trucker demographic.
Yeah. All right. So eventually Mike and Rochelle are going to get this. And eventually Tyler and Laura are going to get through the bricks. And then it's really just going to be a real ordeal then to get through this next part of the leg, which is going out. What would you call those things? Those bamboo sort of canoes/surfboards.
Well, I heard they were wooden burritos.
Wooden burritos. Is that what Spencer Pratt told you?
Spencer Pratt would excel at this. Like, this is Spencer Pratt's five-hole moment.
Yes. Well, he would eat them if they were a wooden burrito.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to get the splinters in my teeth.
Yeah. And so you have these teams going out and really just they have to like go out on a paddleboard and go out and get the clue out there in the water. But it was like a very choppy day.
Yeah. And according to Blair, it was much, much harder than a paddleboard because it was unevenly balanced. So you couldn't figure out like where to distribute your weight.
Yes. And so there we saw people like just like laying down on it and like trying to do the backstroke. Poor Jelani. That he was just getting like killed out there and Jenny was laughing.
Yeah, I love Jenny's running commentary. It might be, I said it on Twitter, it might be my favorite thing that's happened all season.
Wow. Poor Jelani.
Yeah, the boat is riding him instead of the other way around.
Is that true?
That was mean. I probably shouldn't say that.
Yes. Yes.
I loved it. She was just so, she was so dry with it.
Okay.
It's really like up my alley.
Well, of course, she was dry. She wasn't the one on the paddleboard.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
What did you think of Tyler's rules for Laura?
I think Tyler's writing his own rule book.
Tyler's, what are the Tyler rules?
Apparently, thing number one is keep paddling.
Thing number one is keep paddling. What's thing number two?
Have fun. Was thing number one, but it got bumped.
It got bumped. And then what else?
And stay calm.
Stay calm. Okay.
Yeah. I liked John Johnston tweeted at me that apparently he's drafting the TA rules.
Yes. What's his last name?
Adams.
Adams. Okay. The Tyler Adams rules. So just so we know, just to run them down are one, keep paddling.
Yep.
Two.
Have fun.
Have fun. And three.
And three, stay calm.
Stay calm. Okay.
These are good rules for life as well as burrito paddling.
I think so. But it's really Rochelle is going to be the person that's going to struggle the most. And I do feel like Rochelle is very quick to like, I feel like this has to have at least been the third time this season where she has a bit of a, I don't want to say a meltdown, but it's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And then finally they push her into doing it.
Yeah. And I think it's also one of those things where she is the more physically fit person of the two. And she feels like she has to take on the physical tasks.
Mm.
And I think they end up being a lot harder than either one of them had prepared for.
Now, what ultimately ends up happening? Let's say Rochelle is just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And it's a non-elimination leg. And not only non-elimination leg, but a keep racing leg. Like, let's just say there was a scenario where it was like the kind of thing where if this was an elimination leg, like Phil would have to come and get them and shut it down. Like we saw with Bergen and Kurt earlier in the season where it's like, guys, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm afraid that this is it.
I think at that point, they would be, if they were not gently encouraged to throw in the towel, they would be assessed, like Phil would come out after a certain point in time and assess them a 4-hour penalty at the start of the next leg.
So he'd say, okay, guys, let's just.
Yeah.
You'll get a 4-hour penalty of the next leg, but you're still in the race. Let's keep racing.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's never been an enforced task quit on The Amazing Race. Like everybody chooses to quit the task, but there may have come a point where they couldn't do it anymore. Like if they'd been out there till it got dark, for instance, they would probably have to shut it down.
Okay. So final leg starts now. We have Haley and Blair, Jenny and Jelani, Tyler and Laura, Mike and Rochelle heading into the final leg. Do we know where the final leg is this season?
They are flying to Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was Mike and Rochelle got that. They opened their clue and that was it said that and they read it out loud before they left.
All right. So Dallas, Texas, and that will be the site of the final leg of the Amazing Race 26. And Jess, let's break this down. Okay. So we like Blair and Haley to win the Amazing Race, right?
Yeah, I think there is no question Blair and Haley are the front runners.
Do you have odds for Blair and Haley?
I'm not really a betting woman, but I would give them 2-1 odds.
2-1 odds. Wow, that's really good.
This is very good.
That's very good. Okay. Jenny and Jelani.
Jenny and Jelani, I feel like we haven't gotten, to put on my Penner hat for a second, we haven't gotten enough of a story.
What is their story? Do they have a story?
I mean, they have proven, especially this leg, they've proven they're very, very funny.
Yes.
And they're a strong team, but
do Tyler and Laura have a story?
Tyler and Laura, they're starting to try to force a story onto Tyler and Laura.
What's the story? That they're bougie?
Yeah, you know, maybe we should be calculating odds for Magdalena and Hayes.
Yeah, but what is Tyler and Laura's story?
Tyler and Laura's story is that they were up until this point, they were the team to beat. And now they've kind of fostered this rivalry and started this leg, really. They've fostered this rivalry with Haley and Blair. And they feel like Haley's been such a constant jabbermouth for the entirety of the race.
Jabbermouth?
I don't know what the word is.
Is that the same as a blabbermouth?
It's the same as a blabbermouth.
I thought it was like a boxing term.
No.
Like a jabbermouth. It's like somebody who talks so much that you want to hit them with a left in the face.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm making up words, Rob.
Okay.
Haley has been Haley all season. I think that's the way we describe it. And okay. I think the story that we're being given here is that Tyler and Laura are pitted against Haley and Blair in some way. And I would have liked to have seen this rivalry kind of fostered a little bit earlier on, but this leg especially, their story was, we would be embarrassed if we could not beat this team that has been yelling at each other the entire time.
Fan fiction.
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
What do you think, Jess? Fan fiction?
Maybe I'm grasping at straws, but... I'm trying to paint you a picture here of how we could justify.
Okay, so the Tyler and Laura story is that they are the team that's a contrast. They're the mirror that we hold up to Blair and Haley.
Yes.
They're the bizarro Blair and Haley. That's their story.
Yeah, I think it's...
They don't even get their own story.
It's going to be one of those two that wins.
Okay.
And it's either going to be like the story of Blair and Haley's redemption arc, or it's going to be the story of the people that brought down Blair and Haley.
Okay. And so you say Jenny and Jelani are just out because they have no story? No winners at it?
We haven't seen them have any meaningful dynamic with either each other or the other teams.
Okay. So you're like the new Steven. You're all in on the edit.
I'm all about the winner's edit.
Okay. And then Mike and Rochelle, who seemingly would have the worst chance to win, but you can't say they don't have a story.
No, they have the sweet scientist story now, especially after this leg.
They're the lovable losers.
Yeah, they're the underdogs. And every story needs an underdog.
They're the underdogs. They're the people. They need the money. And they're certainly likable. But they are just way off the pace.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a kid to impress.
They've got a business. They've got a truck stop sock hop to run one day.
Exactly. I think that would definitely be a story for them. Like, if they end up winning the race, it'll be like, you guys were the team that struggled and nobody thought you could do it, but you did it and you beat everybody.
Okay. All right.
Maybe their five-hole task is coming up.
Maybe they're coming up. Jess, you ready to jump into some questions?
Of course.
Okay. We got some questions coming up here on the podcast. Of course, get your questions in #RHAP or on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube. Also, Jess, the Rob's Podcast Bell shirts are back. So there's a second chance for that too.
Yeah. And
more second chances.
In honor of it being the second chance, I ordered two.
Order two. Oh my God. Well, that you were going to impress all your friends this summer, Jess.
Yeah. Everybody's going to look at me and be like, what is that?
Yeah. There's all sorts of different, this time around, they've got black ink on the shirts and lighter colors. And the other time, last time around, it was dark shirts with white ink. So it's the yin and the yang of the RHAP t-shirts.
Is it the dark side and the light side?
I think so. Also, they've got tank tops as well for men and women. And also the Raglan softball shirts, Jess, for our RHAP softball team.
I got one of those.
Yes. All right. Well, what position are you going to play on the RHAP softball team?
I'm typically second base. Second base or right field.
Second base. I'll probably be left out.
Okay, you can warm the bench for us, Rob.
Warm the bench. All right. So you can check that out at robswebsite.com/bellshirt. That's robswebsite.com/bellshirt, or click the banner in the sidebar on robswebsite.com. All right, let's take a question here. Buck Hondo says, don't you think the dance task judges on Amazing Race are too nitpicky? These aren't professional dancers after all. What do you think, Jess?
I think I think the dance judges are uneven.
Yeah, they do. They're like sort of like very strict. And then as time goes by, they're like, okay, I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah. And even from task to task, they're also uneven. Like there's some dance tasks where you can get away with screwing up a lot of the moves and they'll still let you through. But there are some dance tasks where you have to get it exactly right on point. Every single movement has to be exactly in sync with everybody else. And it's hard to tell from looking from the outside in which one that task is going to be.
Yeah, but we've talked about this on the show too, right? Where it's not the actual judges that make the call, it's the producers.
Yeah, yeah, it is producers. So I think it's whatever mood the producers are in.
But what do the producers know about dance?
Well, they probably work in conjunction with the locals that teach them the...
So the producer like can oversee like they let the judges defer and then they sort of like look back at the producer and the producer's like, okay.
Yeah, the producer always has to approve it, I think, for legal reasons.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Zach Attack 48 says, why did Laura wait to do her 5RB? Is this a good strategy for them? Her fifth roadblock, that's code.
5RB?
Yes.
Yeah, that was bad strategy. I think they relied on, like, Tyler is a big guy. He's physically fit. He's pretty smart, and he knows the race like the back of his hand. I can see why he'd have the instinct to jump on every roadblock. And also, you know, if he's a fan, he knows that the roadblock rule is selectively enforced.
Yes.
Even though, you know, he's not old, so he can't count on them not enforcing it for them.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what happens. What would you have recommended?
I would have recommended, like, anything. If you have one team member that is physically at a disadvantage compared to the other one. I mean, Laura is fit. She's definitely in great shape, but she's not going to be able to handle a heavy lifting task like Tyler could. And so they need to look at every task and think, can Laura physically do this? And if so, she needs to do it.
Okay. All right. Let's take a question from Scott Grimes. Jess, aren't the first two rules of choosing Amazing Race Challenge is number one, keep paddling. Number one, no animals. And number two, no dancing. P.S. I'll be gone next week due to alcohol. Thanks for the great season of recaps. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Did we have a drinking game? Is that what happened?
I think maybe his friends had an intervention.
Be gone next week due to alcohol.
Oh, you should have waited till after the Amazing Race finale to check into rehab. Now you're never going to know who won.
Yeah, well, I hope everything is okay there.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous. Gone?
Maybe he's just having a party.
Yes. All right. But I have to imagine things must not be that dire if we're talking about the two rules of the Amazing Race.
Right, right. And they're not, don't talk about the Amazing Race because we'd be so screwed if that was the case.
Yeah, we would be. So no animals and no dancing. Do you stand by that?
I don't think I would go that far. I think it's no animals and no children. No, that's show business.
Yes.
But I think,
do they have a lot of tasks involving children at the Amazing Race?
Yeah, they've had a lot where like the children have to teach you how to do something, or, you know, I guess I'm thinking of the children had to show Steve and Allie how to make their airplane.
Yes.
In their speed bump. You know, they try to involve kids wherever they can, but I think animals are a big one you try not to work with. Dancing can go either way. Like, if you are good at dancing, maybe it's not a bad idea. I remember this same Bollywood task that we're talking about. We had a couple of people, I think possibly both of the Rachels did this roadblock, and they were both had dance backgrounds, so they were very good at it.
Mm. Okay. Scott also updates us. Scott Grimes updates us from the chat room. He's just going to a beer tasting.
Okay.
So that's why he's going to miss next episode due to alcohol.
Good to know. Okay. Taste some good beers for us.
All right. Let's go to Shannon G. Says, in your opinion, which team would be the least satisfying winner this season based on everything that has occurred up to this point? Well, I think I know what Jess is going to say.
Maybe you don't.
Oh.
I'm going to go with...
Do tell.
And again, I'm going to stress that I'm not going to be unhappy with any of these winners. I think they're all likable people that have run a decent race. And I don't think anybody's sitting there that really shouldn't be there. I think Mike and Rochelle would definitely be the least satisfying.
Oh, this is a surprise.
See, I told you. You thought I was going to say Jelani and Jenny.
I thought that's what you were going to say. Why? Why Mike and Rochelle? I thought you liked Mike and Rochelle.
I do. I like Mike and Rochelle very much. But the fact is, they have been kind of hanging on to the back of the pack a little bit.
All right, so just wrap my head around, why were you such fans of Sweet Scientists, but you would be unsatisfied with the Mike and Rochelle win?
Well, like I said,
and the Beekmans.
I'm not going to have a problem with any of these teams winning.
Yes, but you said it would be unsatisfying.
I said least satisfying.
Least satisfying.
Least satisfying is not unsatisfying. And I'd be okay with it, and I wouldn't.
I'm an expert in both areas, Jess.
I'm sure you are, Rob. I would not go around like many people did after Amy and Maya won. Unfairly so, I might add. I would not be the kind of person that goes around saying the race is flawed because these people won it.
I mean, like, there is a flaw in the game.
The game is flawed.
Should America decide who wins the Amazing Race?
America should never be allowed to decide anything.
Should America? Well, America's about to decide who's going to be on the next season of Survivor.
Yeah.
Are you saying that there's a flaw in that too?
I'm not saying it's flawed. I'm saying America shouldn't be allowed to do it.
Should America get to vote for the upcoming season of The Amazing Race? Should The Amazing Race follow suit on Survivor? If this is a big success, Survivor, Second Chance, should they do a similar idea for The Amazing Race?
Only if they do it in the Second Chance idiom.
Okay.
I think it has to be all teams that have never...
As opposed to like doing like totally random, or you don't want any three-timers?
If we turn it over to the American public, it's going to be the Cowboys and the Globetrotters.
Okay, so you want it has to be one-time teams.
Yeah. One-time teams, no winners.
One-time teams, no winners. All right.
And probably, I think it's harder to...
Oh, so like Keith and Whitney.
Sure, let's bring Keith and Whitney back.
Wow, Jess, look at you. You're such a giving mood.
Well, I love Keith and Whitney. They'd be wonderful talent.
Wow. Oh my God. Jess is like turned over a new leaf.
Yeah, make sure you have Jim Rice tell them that when you talk to him later tonight.
All right. Edwin Hernandez says, wasn't it really obnoxious that all four teams are going to go through the finale? Isn't that, obvious. Isn't that really obvious?
I think we both agreed it was pretty obvious.
All right. Freudian slip on reading the questions. Oh my God. John Johnston. Should Mike and Rochelle receive a speed bump in the final leg?
I don't think the final leg should involve a speed bump.
Why not? What's the difference?
I think the final leg, you're not going to have as much of an opportunity. Like the speed bump,
they're already so far behind. You don't need to
be more. Yeah, it's just kind of piling on at this point.
Be more punitive. I am looking forward to last season. I really did like it when Phil just like popped out and said, I'm sorry, you're eliminated. Like I like him. I think I might like that more on The Amazing Race than getting like to the pit stop. Like whatever team is last, like Phil just like pops up like the Grim Reaper. And he's just like, I'm sorry, you're eliminated.
Yeah. Like sort of like when Jeff Probst comes to camp, you know that something's bad is about to go down.
Yeah. I like that. And it's like you could like try to run away from him, but he's just like, no, you're eliminated.
Yeah, you can't escape Phil.
Yeah. Remember last season with I think it was the Robbie and Brooke that it happened to, and they were doing the task where they were like jumping out of the building and then he just like came out from around the corner.
Yeah, I liked that. Like from a drama standpoint, I liked that very much. But I thought that they needed to at least be allowed to do a task before he eliminates them.
And Robbie was pissed. He wanted to do the task, right?
Yeah, it looked fun. I would have wanted to do it.
Yeah, I think that was fun. Okay, this is from Alec DeBomb. Have there been any rumors of what next season would be like? Because I think a good concept would be a parent with their child. Thoughts? And yes, I know the Family Edition sucked. Well, Jess, this is a good question. Have we seen anything yet of what the CBS fall lineup looks like?
No, we have not. And I'm getting a little anxious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on the bubble, I think, this season, maybe more than ever. But it's not definitely getting canceled. What I know is they don't usually start filming the next season until early June. Like last year, it was May 31st. So we haven't heard anything yet. I'm sure there are teams that have been cast and are ready to go. The course is probably set, but we need the green light from CBS, and we haven't gotten it yet.
Okay, I'm just taking a look today because I feel like it's going to be like imminent that we're going to get the CBS schedule. I'm not sure if it's going to be tonight, or I think maybe tonight we find out like what shows got canceled for the upfront next week. But I'm not sure what day of the week CBS is going to go on the upfronts. But we will find out. But by the time we do our show next week, we will know where The Amazing Race is on the fall lineup, if it is on the fall lineup.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But I do get the sense that if The Amazing Race was canceled, I do feel like we would know that already.
I don't know necessarily that we would.
I feel like we would start to get the news that The Amazing Race has not been picked up. I could see it also being potentially not on the fall lineup, but they're going to like have it as a, you know, mid-season replacement, or potentially have it ready to go in like February or something like that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening.
Like, I don't know, maybe for whatever reason, if they say they don't have room for it on the fall schedule, but they're going to run it in conjunction with Survivor in February. But it also could be a thing where like it was such a major problem to have it, and this is the first year that Amazing Race is on Fridays, where March Madness really screwed it up. Maybe they back off of the Friday thing.
Yeah, they could. I think I could see it definitely coming back as a mid-season replacement, which is what has happened before.
It has happened before, yeah.
It happened with season 12, I think it was, and that actually worked pretty well because we were all rooting for shows to fail. And
well, that sounds fun.
It was really fun because the show that it was going to replace was this, it was a musical show called Viva Laughlin.
Yes.
And it was so bad that everybody was just watching and waiting for everybody to realize how bad it was. It took two episodes and then Amazing Race was back.
And then there you go. That would be fun. That would be exciting, where we could have like a fall TV death pool.
I love this.
Yeah.
I almost kind of hope it happens. And also that worked out really well because then the Amazing Race finale was over Martin Luther King weekend. So the party was on Sunday night and everybody could stay out really late.
Yeah. So still no official word on the renewal status of the Amazing Race. But by the time we come back next week, we will know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, we'll keep you guys posted.
Okay. And maybe even by the time, sometime midweek, we will know what's going on. Okay. Adam Martin says, do you think it's strange that the clue specifically said Laura and Rochelle had to do the wooden burrito task? Wow, that really caught on.
Yeah. I think it was the roadblock count thing, which I guess they're deciding to enforce this season.
Yeah. So you think Dave and Connor are at home laughing all the way to the bank?
I think so. They're laughing all the way to their Travelocity infomercial.
I think so. Okay. Wait, did they do a Travelocity infomercial?
Yeah, apparently, like, people were tweeting this at me. Apparently, in the middle of the night, there's this infomercial for Travelocity that aired that was starring Dave and Connor.
Okay. All right. Then how was it?
I haven't seen it yet.
You didn't watch it?
No, I got to sleep at night, Rob.
Well, why were you looking at your phone?
People were tweeting at me. I saw it the next morning.
So every time you get a tweet, it gets a dun-dun. Done.
No, that was a text message. Okay. My phone lights up when I get a tweet.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to screw up your circadian rhythms, Jess.
Yeah, I don't put the phone next to the bed.
Okay. All right. This is from Gary Barahona. I think Blair and Haley were good and funny this episode. Are they the best winners for this season?
Without a doubt. They got the most interesting story.
Best winners for this season or ever?
I don't know ever, but I would say that Blair and Haley winning is the thing that would move this from a bottom half season into a top half season.
Top half season for Blair and Haley. Boy, yeah. I'm so excited for Blair and Haley exit interview.
Me too.
Very excited.
I'm going to have a lot of, I think we're going to have a lot of questions for them.
Yeah. That's going to be very exciting. Here's a spoiler. Here's what most of my questions are going to be. Haley, what did you think of the time that Blair said you didn't know what you were doing?
What about that time Blair didn't listen to you?
Yeah. What about the time that Blair didn't listen to you and said that you, that he knew better about what, like, oh, don't even get me started on that. Like, what about the other time? I think that's what the, basically all those questions are going to be. ID Institute. Who was better? Happy Clown or Evil Military Brick Crusher?
Well, really, if they wanted to maximize the terror, you know what they should have had them do?
The clown step on the bricks?
Yeah, you got the big shoes. Like, what else are those big shoes for?
That's a good point. Also, yeah, you have a lot of people in the clown car. That would be a lot of weight that would run over the bricks.
Right, right.
Okay. According to...
What, did you get a text message?
Yeah, I get updates from Scott St. Pierre, who's behind the scenes producing the show. What Scott is saying is that The Amazing Race is on TV Guide's looking good for renewal list. So that's like the best dress list of TV shows.
Yeah, I guess. But I've seen a couple of lists. I think like maybe it was Zap to It where I saw a list where they said that it was on the bubble and they weren't sure. But
yes. And according to Tyler in the chat room, that CBS will announce their fall lineup on May 13th.
Okay, so we got a couple of days and then we'll know and then I can relax.
Then we'll know. Okay, this is from Jeremiah Yap. Who has a better chance of winning their respective games? Mike from Mike and Rochelle or Mike from Survivor?
I think Mike from Survivor is getting the better edit.
I think so. He definitely has the better edit.
But they're both kind of underdogs, aren't they?
They're both kind of underdogs. They're both blue collar.
Yeah.
And one is headed to Texas and one is from Texas.
Well, there you go.
Okay. So much in common. Cupcake Leah says, I find Rochelle's whining about not being able to do a task is very annoying. It almost annoys me more than Haley's voice. Is her delay on the wooden burrito going to cost them in the finale, or is it that attitude in general? Oh boy, a Rochelle hater on the podcast.
Well, you know, these teams have been hard to hate, so I really got to respect someone for going the extra mile here. I agree with that. I think this is a really rough thing to watch. And I think I've seen the difference between teams that go through something like this and bounce back from it and teams that don't. And you can understand which is which by what they're saying when they get into this mode. And if someone is saying, I can't do this, this is impossible, this is terrible, I hate it, I can't do it, that's different from, this is really hard, this is making me miserable, I have to keep trying, but this is really painful and difficult and I don't like it. Those are two different things.
Are Mike and Rochelle a modern day Chuck and Winona?
I don't think so, because I think they've both shown themselves to have strengths and weaknesses, whereas Chuck and Winona, Chuck just kind of carried her through the entire race.
Yes. Yeah, for Mike and Rochelle, I mean, they've both been similarly skilled in the challenges.
Yeah, yeah. They've each had things that they're okay at. They haven't had things that they've wowed.
They've both had things that they haven't gone well.
Yeah. And they're great at navigation. They found some good flights. They're not useless.
They're not useless. Okay.
And they're not going to, them winning would not destroy the pleasures of The Amazing Race for me, like some people said Amy and Maya winning did for them.
Who are these people that you're talking to that are saying
they're the
that,
people on the street, Rob.
If you talk to the people on the street that just are like, let me tell you one thing, Jess, Amy and Maya, the sweet scientists, winning The Amazing Race ruined the show for me. I'm out.
I've seen it a lot.
Were these the streets or the comment section of robasawebsite.com?
I was about to say, it was the comment section of robasawebsite.
Was it from people that have an avatar, or was it from the egg people?
I think some of these people did have avatars, because there are a couple of people that come on using their real names and they're very vocal about their opinions. Okay. And I treasure these people even when I don't agree with them.
I find the angriest people are so angry that they don't even have time for an avatar.
That's true.
They have sort of like just the blank mosaic tile.
I got people to hate. I can't have a picture.
Got too much. I'm too angry. All right. Last question. Alex G. The last few seasons, there's a big difference between the earlier and the later legs. Do you like how much The Amazing Race starts easy and gets harder? Is that accurate?
I don't know if that's necessarily accurate. We've seen some hard stuff happen in the, like, they kind of front load some of the harder tasks on the beginning. Like, some of the hardest tasks in Amazing Race history have been very, very early on.
Yeah. we've seen some hard tasks early on.
I thought Sinking Steps was very hard.
Yes. And last season, what about when they had to find the treasure chest?
That was pretty hard. That caused three teams to quit.
Yeah. And also then what was the season where then the team, like a bunch of teams really did almost quit, where they had to get the sandcastles?
Oh, yeah. That was a season we covered.
I don't know if they thought that that was supposed to be that hard, though.
I think it was pretty... I think people were doing it wrong was the problem. And also, very early on, I think like leg three was the infamous season 7 meat block with Boston Rob.
Yes.
Leg two
the,
was...
The one that a woman thought I did recently?
Yeah, yeah. That was, you know, we should talk about, you know, what possessed you to convince everybody else to quit.
I'll talk to about that later.
Yeah, you know better than anybody because you were there.
I was there.
It was an early leg that was also the hay bales, which is infamously the hardest, one of the hardest roadblocks in Amazing Race history, maybe the hardest.
Okay. All right, Jess, fantastic job tonight on the Amazing Race podcast. We need a hashtag. I've got a couple of options for you.
I bet some of our options are the same.
Okay. What do you got? Give me three. Okay. What do you got?
I got three and I'll give them in like ascending order of awesomeness.
Okay.
All right. Start with the least awesome.
All right. Least awesome is what?
I got top 10 mosaic.
Yes. Got that on my list.
And I've got mushy corners.
Mushy corners. I don't have that one.
Yeah. But of course, I think there's really one clear front runner. This is the Blair and Haley of hashtags.
Yes.
I got sock hop truck stop.
Sock hop
number
truck
one stop with a freaking bullet.
I also had a wooden burrito, but let's go with, sock hop truck stop.
Sock hop truck stop.
Sock hop truck stop. There you go. All right.
One of the weirder tangents we've ever been on.
Hey, it could work. It could work. All right. So, Jess, you are going to be having a blog coming up. Has your Amazing Race muse found you tonight and you have already been inspired about what you're going to write about?
I'm still mulling it over. Okay. I'm going to try to get it up tomorrow.
All right.
But we'll see.
Me too. All right, so mull it over, and we will see what Jess has in store for us on the Amazing Race blog. Of course, we've got so much here to do. I've got so many podcasts up right now, and I will be just, you know, making so many more podcasts over the weekend. I've got one already in the can of the Road to Survivor Second Chances interview specials. I spoke with Teresa T. Bird Cooper earlier today. Tonight, I'm speaking with another one that I'll have that posted. I've got four more lined up for Monday. I've got five more lined up for, I got four more lined up for Saturday. I got five lined up on Monday. I got six lined up on Tuesday. So they're just boom, 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 boom. Just delete all those apps on your phone. You don't even use them. Just delete all of them. Otherwise, you're not going to have enough room.
It's true. Pretty much, I'm going to have to take the day off from work next week just so I can listen to all these podcasts.
What do people have? Like pictures of their kids on their phone? Those are taking up a lot of space. You can get rid of that. What do you have? All that music that you bought?
Yeah, get rid of that.
You don't need that.
You don't need to listen to that when you're listening to podcasts.
What do you need to listen to? You already heard it before.
It's true. Yeah, you haven't heard these podcasts because they haven't been recorded yet.
That's right.
So you're already kind of punchy, Rob. What's going to happen in 3 days when you haven't slept?
Yeah, so this is another another person talking about me being punch drunk.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Okay, Jess, fantastic job here tonight, as usual. I'm starting to get sad that next week is the last of our Amazing Race podcast together.
Tear.
For this season, or maybe forever. We don't know. We got to wait for that renewal news.
From your mouth to CBS's ear, Rob.
Okay. So we have a lot to discuss next Friday night when we talk about the finale of Amazing Race 26. And Jess, we have to figure out more stuff to talk about over the summer.
I am never at a loss for things to talk about, Rob.
All right. Fantastic. All right, everybody. Thanks, Scott, for all your great work with the questions. Thanks, everybody who watched us live. We will be back next Friday night, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.